Take your Bible with me, please, to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, very familiar portion of Scripture. We don't have a church that we have the big religious show a couple times a year, but we don't do all that. But, there, you know, it's always appropriate to preach about Jesus, whether you're preaching about His birth or His life or His death or anything that He said. Always appropriate to sing about Him, sing about His birth, His life, His death. But this morning's message, though, we're going to read a very familiar passage that is mentioned this time of the year. Maybe we'll take a little different avenue with it as we look at one certain word that the Lord gives to us concerning our Lord Jesus Christ when He came to this earth. But we'll start reading together in verse number 18, Matthew chapter 1, Matthew 1:18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." I'm interested this morning in the last verse that I read, verse 25, and just a little phrase, or really actually a word out of that verse in verse 25. The Bible says, "And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son." I want to speak to you this morning about the firstborn. The firstborn. You know, that word firstborn occurs seven times in your New Testament. And it has very important meaning, and it's not always mentioning what we're reading here, as we know that Mary had her firstborn son. And the first thing I want to say to you this morning out of the text of the Word of God, as we talk about her firstborn son, I want you to think about this physical birth, this physical birth. That our Lord and Savior came to this world through a physical birth. He took on a physical body of flesh, just as you and I. And He was born like we are, and He lived like we have lived in the body. His body grew, her firstborn son. Now, there is a lie that's been told, and most of it is around the deification of the Virgin Mary, that there would be no reason, if this lie was true, which it is not, that Mary had no other children. You know, if there was a false doctrine that was true, like the perpetual virginity of Mary, then there would be no reason to say her firstborn son. Are you with me? As the Spirit of God is emphasizing the fact that Mary was just a woman like you. She was, if you're a lady here this morning, she was just a human like us. She's not God. She didn't ascend up into heaven. She's not to be worshipped. She's not to be praised. She was just a woman who had a husband and had several children, but that firstborn. There was something special about that firstborn son. You know, even in life, there's something special about the firstborn. We see that not just even in the details of the Bible. If, you know, in the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, that firstborn often would have a double portion. That firstborn would have a exalted place in the family, right? My brother tries to remind me of that. But that's not only the case in the sense of the Bible days, but you know, that's the case practically. If you've had several children, I tell you what, there was nothing like the firstborn. I mean, your heart pitter-pattered. You tried to, I've often given the story about how, you know, the first child that's born into a family and they're so particular about every little detail and they've got to make sure everything is perfect. But by the time they get to the third or fourth child, they're throwing them in the nursery, you know. I mean, because it's just old hat by then. And that's not a bad thing. It's just the way it is. When nobody's ever had a baby before, and here's it's like we were going through some pictures to get together for Dad's service and whatnot, and I was going through, you know, my mom had all these pictures, boxes, and we were just going through them, and I stopped and I said, I can't believe how many pictures are in here of Benjamin. I mean, it's like 10 to 1 to everybody else. You know, and then my brother said, I know, I can't believe there's so many pictures of Benjamin, you know. He just shaking his head. It's like his kids didn't even matter. I mean, there were so many. But you know why? He was the firstborn grandchild. And there's just something not only about the firstborn child, but the first grandchild. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's something special about that. You know there was something special about this firstborn child. And it just wasn't the fact that it was the first child that Mary ever had. And it wasn't just the fact that he was the special child because... But look over here. There was more in the family than just Jesus. Go over to Mark chapter 6, which destroys this idea of Catholicism and other false religions that Mary was a perpetual virgin. And I tell you what, I think what an injustice that would have been with Joseph. I'll just stop with that. Y'all didn't catch that, I guess, or didn't too nervous to laugh. But how wicked an environment would have had to been put a man in. That wasn't the case at all. She was just a lady, just like a normal lady. She was a sinner like every other sinner. She needed to be saved. She was a wonderful lady. She was one that God found that He could trust to bring forth His son from her womb. But she was just an ordinary, God-fearing, pure woman. And she had a normal family. And the Bible tells us about all these others. He says in Mark chapter 6, the Bible talks to us, and they're of course talking about Jesus after He's in His ministry here, and they're saying this, Mark chapter 6, verse 3. They say, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, watch it, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? You see, there's a bunch of people in the family. Now, don't believe the lies of all these new Bibles that try to change that. These are real brothers and sisters. But they all come from Mary and Joseph. And, of course, they're just a half-brother and brothers and the half-sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Joseph wasn't his father. We know that he was born of the Holy Ghost. But still, nonetheless, he had brothers and sisters in the house. And they're saying, isn't this just the carpenter that came out of his family and took over the family business from Joseph? He was the carpenter's son, and then he became the carpenter. This is a large family that they had. It's a normal family that they had together. But there was just something about that firstborn. He had more rights. He had the double portion. He was the special one. And not just in the house of Mary and Joseph, but in the house of the family of all humanity, he was the special one. He was the one that the double portion was upon his head. You know, when you read in the Bible how back there in the book of Exodus when God brought his people out of Egypt, have you ever wondered why? When God delivered them in that last plague and God slew the what? Have you ever wondered why that was? God could have slain just a child in the family. But God slew the firstborn child. Because that was the special child, as we said, the child with the rights. But over there in Egypt, as there was a great cry, there was great deliverance of the firstborn. On the other side of the way, where God's people were, because the blood had been applied. Did you know that the Bible tells us in the book of Numbers chapter 3 and verse 13, He says, all the firstborn are mine. He's saying this to Israel. He says, all the firstborn are mine. They are hallowed unto me. All the firstborn are hallowed unto me, he said, because he had redeemed Israel. He had bought Israel and he had spared them. And though the firstborn deserved to die, that through the blood that he provided, all the firstborn were free and they were all redeemed. But he said, because of that, every time, it doesn't matter where the firstborn comes from, the firstborn is mine. Oh, I see a good illustration of that. I tell you what, Jesus Christ, He didn't belong to this world. He belonged to God. He was the firstborn. And He was the hallowed one. He was the one that belonged to the Father. He was like no other human being that ever came in this world, because He just wasn't a human being, though He was all human. He was all God. He was both of the packages, you see. God manifest in the flesh for us. The firstborn is a special physical birth. And then I see something else when I find another passage in the Bible that talks about the firstborn. Would you go to Romans chapter 8 with me? She brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, we run into that word firstborn again. And it's also in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this. You know the passage very well about Romans 8:28. What a great promise for the people of God. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the what? The firstborn among many brethren. You see, the reason that I pointed out the fact that Jesus Christ had other physical brothers and sisters, the family of the Lord Jesus Christ extends farther than James and Joseph and the people, the sisters that were there at the time. The Bible says He's not referring to those people in Romans 8:29. He's not taking us over to Mark chapter 6 that He's the firstborn in the family of Mary. Oh no, He's telling us in this text that we who love God, we who have been born by the Spirit of God, we who have the Spirit of God in us, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9, we that are in God's family, He said that Jesus Christ was the firstborn among many brethren. And what God's trying to do with all of His children is conform us to the image of the firstborn, you see. The special one. Now wait a minute, if you're saved, you're a child of God. You know that. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. But how did you get into the family of God? You had to be born into the family of God. Many has received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. You have to be born of God to get into God's family. But how does that happen? You know, I had a birthday yesterday. Don't look at me funny like that, Larry. I'm 32. That's rude to laugh when somebody says that. No, I had a birthday. 53 years ago, I was born into a family. I can't change that. I can't change who my dad and mom are. That's a permanent thing. Well, I'm in a human family. I'm in the family just like you are. All of us are sinners. Well, how do you get born into another family? How do you get born into God's family? Guys, it takes a miracle to do that. Matter of fact, listen to me. You know, they were there when Jesus was presenting His ministry, and they accused Him of being born of fornication, didn't they? They couldn't believe in the virgin birth. They couldn't believe that a man could never have an earthly father. Could not have a, it couldn't be possible for there to be a human being without an earthly father. That's, and it's, it would take a miracle to do that. And people still, they don't really believe in the miracles of the Bible. They don't believe in the miracle of the virgin birth. They don't believe in the miracle of the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, or the miracle of the resurrection. But that was a miracle in Matthew chapter 1. A miracle. That the Holy Ghost of God overshadowed the womb of a virgin that had never been with a man. Aren't you glad the way the Bible read that and wrote that in Matthew chapter 1? It said, before they came together. God put that in there for you to know that this was a pure woman. This is a virgin woman. Though she was a spouse to Joseph, she was a godly lady, and no man had ever touched her in that manner. And how is she going to have a baby? I say that's a miracle. The angel told her, the Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and that which was conceived in you is going to be of the Holy Ghost. In other words, for this firstborn to come into the world through the virgin womb, it had to be a miracle of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had to do that. Had to be God's seed and God's power and God's miracle to do that. The Spirit of God, listen to me, the Holy Ghost of God did the work in her womb. She didn't do it. Nobody helped her. It was the Holy Ghost that did the work in her womb and created that body. But you know what? She did have to be willing. She said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. You want to use my body? You want to take my body? Here it is. And the Holy Ghost did that miracle in her, and the firstborn, the Lord Jesus, came. But you see, our Bible says here in Romans 8 that He's the firstborn among many brethren. You know, if you got in the family of God, it took a miracle. For sinners such as you and I to get into God's family and get out of the devil's family and get out of the human family, it took a great miracle. Matter of fact, it took just as much a miracle as the virgin birth. And you know what had to be involved? The same thing that was involved with the firstborn. The Holy Ghost has to be involved. You know, the Bible tells us that we're not born of our own wills, or it had to be the Spirit of God. Jesus said in John chapter 3, He said, ye must be born again. Nicodemus had no idea what He's talking about. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And I tell you what, just as the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and did that work in her womb to bring forth the firstborn Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. If you have changed families, if you're in the family of God, the Holy Ghost had to do a work in your heart. And you've got to be born again of His Spirit. You've got to be the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost to be born from above. But you know what? You say, how's that going to happen? It'll happen with your cooperation. Just like Mary said, you want to do this miracle in me? Here am I. You know, nobody ever got saved. Nobody ever got placed in the family of God that didn't have an agreement with God saying, God, here am I. Here's my sin. I trust You. I believe You. My faith's in You. I'm a willing partner. God's not going to force you to get saved. If you want to go to hell, God will let you go to hell. He didn't force Mary into this situation to have this virgin-born Son of God. He didn't force her. She was a willing individual. God's not going to force you into His family, but oh, the willing individual. If you'll have a willing heart and say, yes, Lord, I'm receiving You. I'm opening my life to You. I want You, Lord, as my Savior. That Holy Ghost will come into you. Are you might listen to me this morning? Will come into you and put you, and you will be a part of that firstborn among many brethren. Thank God that the firstborn didn't stop with the manger. People are still being born of the Holy Ghost. No, not in a physical sense, not the physical birth of Matthew chapter 1, but that spiritual birth of Romans chapter 8 and John chapter 3. And on we could go with that. What I'm trying to say, I'm glad that Jesus is not an only child. Amen. Now, that's no difference. If you've got an only child, I'm not throwing off on you. But I'm glad I had a brother this weekend. Yeah, there's a blessing of some of that. Some people can't even have children. I'm not throwing off on that at all. I'm just saying Jesus was not an only child, and the lie that he was is not true. And not just in the household of Joseph and Mary, but oh, what a family of God he has. He's the firstborn among many brethren. Look at Colossians chapter 1 with me. As I think about that spiritual birth, I'm taking in my mind over to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, and if you get with your other hand, Hebrews chapter 12. Because we run into that word firstborn again. And it's no coincidence. That miracle of Matthew chapter 1 is continuing spiritually throughout the New Testament in the lives of those who receive Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 12. Look at Colossians chapter 1 first with me. He says in Colossians 1 and verse number 15, who is the image, speaking of Jesus, of course, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. What is that? Well, I know what the context is because we're running into colons here. This is a long sentence in this passage of Scripture. And he tells us in verse number 12 that we to give thanks unto the Father. We're in the family, you see, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of God, the firstborn of every creature? Can I say this? This is not the firstborn of every creation. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. That's a heresy that's before. The firstborn of every creature. You know what I read in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know what happened to you when you received Christ? That firstborn came into your life and something new happened and there was a new creature on the inside. And every new creature has got to be the firstborn that brings forth that. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 with me. I see that phrase again, firstborn, that word again, firstborn. And look what he's talking about in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 22. The Bible says, but ye are coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Watch it now. To the general assembly and church of the what? Church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. You know what he says? He calls it the church of the firstborn. Not only the fact that you have been born of the Spirit, but you know who this church belongs to? It belongs to the firstborn. The church is the church of the firstborn. The church belongs to Jesus. The church belongs to the same one that came in Matthew chapter 1. The firstborn, the church belongs to the same one that's seated at the right hand of the Father. I am so glad that I'm a part of the church of the firstborn. Because with Him are all the rights. With Him is all the double portion. With Him is the hallowedness, you see. With Him, those that have been saved and released from that firstborn, though we should be dying, that blood of that firstborn has made me a part of that church. The church of the firstborn, look at what he says. Whose names are written where? In Hebrews chapter 12, was it? Their names are written where? Written in heaven. Everybody that's born in this world, they write a record. And when you die, they do the same thing. They write a record out. Okay, you were born this date. This is your father. This is your mother. And they used to put this as your gender. I don't know if they've changed that, but we'll just give them the benefit of the doubt and say they still know what that is. So this is the birth record. We write it down and we file it. And any time you want to prove your identity, you just go, you can get that birth record and where your name has been written in the registry of whatever state you were born in. I lost my wallet. I lost everything. Just recently. That's terrible, isn't it? And when I was trying to get everything back, you know what they said? Well, if you bring your birth certificate, we can give you everything back you got. Because that's the record. It tells who you are. It's official. It's stamped. It's written down here. It's in the clerk's office or the courthouse or wherever it is. I don't even know where it is. But I know it's there because I get to order it. So you get a birth record. That's because I was born in the state of Alabama. Alabama has a record of my birth. You know, if you belong to Jesus Christ, if you're a part of the church of the firstborn, there's also a record written in heaven of your birth certificate. And it tells who your father is. It tells where you belong. And anytime you needed to, you could present that. Present it to the devil and say, you know, this is who I belong to. My name's written in heaven. That's why Jesus said, hey, don't rejoice that you can raise the dead and heal the sick and do all these miracles. You need to rejoice that your name is written up there in that book of life, that your name is written in heaven. Rejoice about that. That's a record that can't change. Amen. I may lose everything, but that record's still there to tell who I am. I may lose my mind before I leave here. Amen. But my record is written on high. Because I'm a part of the church of the firstborn, and my name is written in heaven. Let me ask you, is your name there? I didn't ask you who your mom, your dad was, or how good a person you are. Is your name written in heaven? If you're a part of the church of the firstborn, if you've come to Jesus Christ, He said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Come on. You say, how do I get to be a member of the church? You know, before we have people join, usually I'll talk to them, make sure they have a testimony of salvation and all that. But it's so easy to get a part of God's church. You just have to come to Jesus. Amen. You just have to receive Him. You've got to believe on Him. And He'll write your name. He'll write your name. Your record's on high. Amen. The part of the church of the firstborn. That firstborn of every creature. That firstborn of the Holy Ghost. Oh, when I hear that word firstborn, I think of the physical birth of Matthew 1, but I think of spiritual birth as well. Of all those firstborn that came up out of Egypt and all those that have come up out of their sin. I give you one more this morning. Will you go to Colossians chapter 1 with me? Because I think there are three things to think about when we think about this word firstborn. Yes, we think of Matthew chapter 1 and that physical birth and the specialness of it. We think of Romans chapter 8 and these other references about a spiritual birth. But there's one more birth that you say, what other birth can there be? You got a physical birth, a spiritual birth. Is there another birth? Oh, yeah. I'm excited about this one this morning. The word firstborn, lastly, is used here in Colossians chapter 1. We were in verse 15, but he didn't stop there with verse 15. The Bible says in verse number 17 of Colossians chapter 1, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Watch it now. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Watch it. The firstborn from the dead. That in all things he might have the preeminence. He not, when he used the word firstborn, he's talking about a physical birth. He's talking about a spiritual birth. But he's also talking about a resurrection birth. You know, the Bible says, calls him in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, he is the first begotten of the dead. When God the Father looked at the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He went down into that grave, and He went in that tomb, and He didn't stay there, and He got up 3 days later, God Almighty called that a birth. He is the first begotten of the dead. It's a resurrection birth. You say, why does he use the word birth in that? Born? Oh, because it's just as new, amen, as the little baby that came. Well, I tell you what, the resurrection has a new body and a new life that's just as new as any other birth. And lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior. But he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. You know why he's called the firstborn from the dead? You say, well, preacher, there's a lot of people that have died, and there's even several that have risen from the dead. I mean, Jesus even did that. Why is Jesus called the firstborn from the dead? Well, when you use the word born with death, that's a very strange phrase. In other words, you're saying from death, life has started. And it's not just physical life, you see, because that body that is risen, that body will never die again. That body will never decay. So when he says the firstborn from the dead, what he's talking about is a resurrected body that death no longer has any power on, any hold on, any effect on. You know, Jesus wasn't the first person that ever was risen from the dead, but he was the first person that raised from the dead, never to die again anymore. Oh, you think about it. God raised several people from the dead in the Old Testament. But all those people, the people that Elijah touched and Elisha touched, you know what? They went back to the graveyard. Amen. The people that Paul the apostle raised and Peter raised, you know what? They all went back to the graveyard. But when Jesus Christ, the first fruits of them that slept, when Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, got up, he's not going back to the graveyard. I was reading some of those miracles of the Lord getting dead people up, and I saw a pattern in my mind formed. Here's the ruler of a synagogue that comes to Jesus and says, my daughter's at the point of death. She's taking her last breath. And when he gets to the house, she's already taken her last breath. And so Jesus walks in and he says, it's all right. She's not dead, but she sleeps. And they started laughing at him. They laughed him to scorn. So he kicked them all out. That's a good thing to do with people that laugh about God. Well, you go laugh out there. He kicked them all out of the house. He took mom and dad. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. He said, y'all come, I want to show you something. They walked into that room, and she was just newly dead. Just died. And he spoke to her. And she got up right off that bed. And he raised her from the dead. Newly dead. And Jesus had the power to raise her from the dead. She didn't even get to the undertaker. She didn't even get to the funeral service. She was newly dead. And Jesus raised her from the dead. You find another story of Jesus. You know what it is? He interrupts the funeral. This guy's not newly dead, but he's come to the funeral. And he's going out in the processional to bury him. And Jesus passed by and he touched that body. And the body got up, though it had been dead for a little while. You know why? He's got power over death. But you know that other story of Lazarus. Lazarus wasn't newly dead and he wasn't headed to the graveyard. He had been graveyard dead for 3 days. He was in the tomb. His body was stinking. It had already been decaying and the stone was rolled over. And Jesus, you know why I think he was late? Not just to show people that he had power over death in the first few hours and had power over death in the first little while before you go to the graveyard. But even if you're sunk down in the tomb, he still has power over death. I watched my dad take his last breath. It was peaceful. But death is terrible. I watched that. But you know what? My dad couldn't have stopped that. And I couldn't stop that. And the nurses and the doctors and all that couldn't stop that. But I'm glad that my Bible says that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. That means just like he is not the only one in the physical family. And just like he's not the only one in the spiritual birth category, he's not going to be the only one that gets up from the dead, never to die again. There's coming a day that first fruits of Jesus Christ in our resurrection assures that in Christ shall all be made alive. If you're in Christ, that grave's not going to hold you, and that body's not going to hold you, and death's not going to, because he's the firstborn from the dead. I wonder this morning, do you know the firstborn? Are you connected with Him? Are you connected with His family? Are you connected with His resurrection? I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, I wish people could get past just Matthew chapter 1. That firstborn and the baby, there's so much more to the firstborn than just the manger. There's so much more to the firstborn than just Joseph and Mary. The firstborn has a big family, and he has victory over sin, and victory over death, and victory over hell, and victory over the grave. And he wants you to be a part of what he's provided. The firstborn from the dead. Over and over, Jesus shows he's the first, but he's not the last. And if you're saved, you'll follow that. You'll follow him. And he'll take you from that place of that you can't conquer. You won't win that over death. It's so strange. So most people, they live their lives like none of them are going, they're never going to die. And we're all going to die. We're all going to leave this world. And it doesn't matter if it's Parkinson's or cancer or a car wreck or death is inevitable. But resurrection is to Jesus. Do you know the firstborn? He said this in Acts 13:33. I'll read it and be done. He says, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm. Listen, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Oh, that's not a reference to the manger. That's a reference to the grave. That birth out of that grave. And I tell you what, the day that I get my resurrected body is the day that I'll really start living. What a birth awaits the people of God. What a birth awaits those that know the firstborn. Do you know him this morning? Are you in his family? Have you been born of the Holy Ghost? Do you know the one that has the power over death?